Hi, it's Dave Weiner here. I'm sitting here with Ward Cunningham.
It's great to be here, Dave.
In a bar. You see, that was Ward.
Yeah.
And I'm showing him how I do a podcast, and this is how I do a podcast.
And we're talking about why you're not doing podcasts. So
they are doing podcasts, Ward.
Well, the ones of you who aren't, I want you to get out your phone and explain to us why you're not doing a podcast and publish it. How are they going to publish it?
I don't know. They could use any number of different blogging tools. They all support it now.
So if you just say blogging tools into your search engine, then you'll...
WordPress, Tumblr,
yeah.
Drupal, 1999.io.
There you go. Software. Try that.
Totally. It has a menu command that says add podcast to a post. And I'm going to post this on my blog later.
Okay, and we will be checking. We want to see.
Well, Ward, okay.
We want to see over 100.
No, don't do that. That's silly. That's turning them into little robots.
Oh,
they're not here to please.
We want to hear. We want to hear at least a dozen things that we never could have imagined.
Listen,
ourselves.
I just, everybody who's listening, I told Ward the story about how podcasting started in 2004. Which, by the way, was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Podcasting's happened now. It's you don't need to ask people to do it. They do it.
All right. Well,
so
keep on hanging on.
Hold on. Now, they don't need you to tell them that either. No, listen, but while I have you here,
yeah.
Would you tell us how you came up with the idea of a wiki?
No.
Oh, you won't do that?
I've told that too many times.
All right. But he's being silly.
No. I had a community. We were trying to invent a new way, a new literature of programming that wasn't based on mathematics. And we had an idea how to do it. And we needed a place to write it down.
And so what did you do? Why didn't you have permissions and stuff like that?
Well, I thought about it. And I said, well, maybe in version 2. And it turned out it worked pretty well without them. I thought it might
last. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was surprised. But more than that, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed reading it every day, because I had the whole world, all people like me over the whole world, coming and putting their best ideas on my server.
Wow.
Where I could read them without even going over the internet. I mean, I could tell you, I could read that thing fast, because everything was 14.4 at the time. 14.4.
What year was this?
90. Well, I started doing the web thing in 94, and I wrote Wiki in 95.
So who were some of the other people that you were reading?
Well, who was I reading?
I mean, who was using your software? That was, you know, who was contributing to your wiki?
Oh, it was like I said, we had a community. It was the leaders of the community. I invited the leaders first, the people who, and I was one of them. You know, we were a little group of rabble-rousers trying to get people to write a different way, to give better advice on what it's like, really like to be a programmer.
I see.
And,
do you remember any of their names?
Well, Ralph Johnson was early. Kent Beck was early. Ron Jeffries was early. Dennis Leese was early. Dennis and a couple other people figured out how to make Java work reliably with multiple cores. You know, multiple cores, of course, is the future of computing, and Java works that way because Dennis and a couple of friends did it. And they started out saying, well, we need to understand how to write about this, and we don't think it's easy to write about, and we were inventing a new way to write.
And so, did that have a name, that way of writing?
Well, we called it pattern languages, because there was a way that had been developed to write about patterns, or about, let's call it applicable knowledge. Knowledge that's ready to be applied right now, organized so that when you apply it, then it says, well, now that you've done that, you'll probably want to do this. That kind of linkage, it makes it a language.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you might say, well, why do we call it a language? It's, well, because you start a sentence, and you don't have a plan for how that sentence is going to finish. You just kind of work it, and pieces fall into place, and you say something that is relatively grammatical. I mean, enough that you can understand it, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And that ability to just express complicated thought. Well, same when you build. When you build architecture, if you're building for yourself, if you hire somebody to do it, they'll just make something that is beautiful in their sense. It'll make architectural magazine, but it won't be a place that you want to live. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, so that idea that physical space is a place you want to live, well, we thought software is a place you live too. And for if sure. you're living in software, it ought to be software that really supports what you need. So we tried it. We wrote patterns that we thought captured what was important. One of the patterns was never program a computer that you can't unplug.
Seems like a good idea. Why is that? Why would you want to do that?
Well, because that demonstrates that you own the computer. You know, that you're in control of what you're
Have producing. You ever programmed a computer you couldn't unplug?
All the time now. Right. Pretty much everyone.
I think we all do that.
Yeah, and so, what was I after there that we never got? You know, there's a lot of other stuff about just what it means to have a computer that's there on your behalf to do what you're trying to do, not to
right.
cause you to do something.
That's still an ideal, right?
I mean, oh, absolutely.
Wouldn't we prefer to all be doing all of our work on a computer like that?
And now you might call it a personal productivity tool. Right, if it's about making you more productive, then it tries to be that way. If it was an enterprise...
I wouldn't think of it that way.
Let's say if it was enterprise software, then it's there because the enterprise needs to make sure that you fill out your timesheet right or whatever it's going to do, get your expenses correct and within budget for your trip to Omaha. Right? You know, and now we talk about social software is software that in some sense support your need to have relationships with people that you need to or you may have forgotten or whatever. So Wiki is kind of the beginning of social software, blogging side by side. Do you think of it as social software?
Do I think of what?
As blogging as social software.
No.
The terminology emerged after that and it was really more...
I was always really confused why people put... LiveJournal was the first blogging software that had the concept of network of friends.
Yeah.
I remember when I first saw it, I didn't understand why anybody would want to do that. You know?
Yeah.
But we had something similar in blogs called blog rolls.
Yeah.
And a blog roll, and I had a blog roll on mine, so it went down the left edge of my homepage, and it was just a list of blogs that I read.
Dave, they're supposed to go down the left edge.
Well, that's what I thought, yeah. I mean, in a lot of, yeah. And so I would always sort of tweak the order based on who was in favor at any given time. And mm-hmm. If somebody wrote something really that I didn't really like, I would... I'd move down the blog roll. Occasionally, if somebody really didn't like, I would just comment them out. So it didn't get rendered.
Kick them off the island.
Well, it was kind of like that. They didn't know that I was just commenting them out. Because I could always resurrect it. It was just commented out in the source code. And I could... Well, I guess there were probably people that actually did delete. And we, you know, we gradually ended up building a lot of the equivalents of, you know, what you see in...
Did that network of who's following... And you don't call it following, but who's reading whom and who's admitting it...
We didn't do a lot with that, no.
It never got charted out?
Yeah, you know, actually it did. There was a thing called BlogTree.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about who's reading who. It was about who inspired who.
Yeah.
And so, you know... And
what a nice distinction.
Well, typically in blogging, there was somebody you were reading or a set of people you're reading before you decided to start blogging. Mm-hmm. And so that created a sort of an inheritance of blogging. And I was at the root of BlogTree, so it was very, it made me feel good that at least, now people do, you know, the other thing about being sort of at the root of the tree is that the first time I noticed that there were other blogs, they were all flaming me, every fucking one of them. It was really something. I was going, first I started saying, oh my God, there are all these blogs out there, how cool is that? And I was expecting to go there and read them saying how much they love me and, you know, what an inspiration. Nope, they're all saying, what an asshole Dave is. Which, you stop and think about it, of course that's why somebody starts a blog, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They start a blog not because they're happy with somebody. They start a blog because they're really pissed off, you know? I had a friend once
Well, wait, I have to tell a story that's related.
All right, go ahead.
And that was, I did a lot of editing because I have this first wiki, and it was the important wiki for 5 years before Wikipedia became
important. Interesting. What was that called?
It was called Wiki. Or C2.com is what most
is
people...
Is that still there?
Yeah.
You're running the original software?
Yeah.
C2.com.
Yeah.
Is that the original one that you started when you had that little group?
Yeah.
And the content's still there?
36,000 pages.
No shit.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to go look at that.
Where was I going with that? Oh, I knew that I had accomplished something because I did a lot of editing anonymously. You didn't have... I mean, you could put your name after something if you wanted to own it, but I didn't capture a name. And I did a lot of editing. If people used a little net news jargon, you know, I just erased it or I translated it.
What do you mean by net news jargon?
Your mileage may vary. Why, you know, or IIRC.
You didn't like that? No?
Well, I just thought it was, you know, why not just use words or not even say it? You know, I mean, a lot of people would write, honestly, they'd write, if they had something to say, they'd write it in 3 paragraphs. One kind of apologized for the fact that they're about to say something strong.
Right.
And then they'd say something strong. And then they'd write another paragraph that kind of apologized for saying something strong. And so
I hate that shit. You take that out.
I just take out 2 of the paragraphs. And then I take all the strong statements and I pull them up to the top of the page. So you read strong statements. Well, I mean, first of all, there'd be some proposition on a page. This is true. Yes, no. And then people would write these things and I just pull those strong. So you read the page, you read some position, and then you read bang, 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 you know, thoughtful statements. And then I'd draw a line, and then people would come back and write silly stuff, which was called...
Did people feel ownership of it?
Absolutely.
So when you deleted that shit, they got mad at you because...
Oh, that was the story I was starting to tell, is somebody was on a page, and they wrote something, and I said, God damn it, that's just stupid. And I wrote something kind of nasty on the paragraph after that. And I came back the next day and there were 2 comments explaining to me that we don't talk like that on Wiki.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up, right?
Well, no, it was just that it had established norms, which I had established. And I'd violated my own norms. And
that
I was
called, right. They were
and
right.
I was called short on it. Yeah, absolutely. And
you gotta love that.
I did love it.
Yeah.
I did love it, even though, you know, I was a little embarrassed. But the, you know, of course, all good things. It was held in, not in the code, it was just in the experience of the people who were there
right.
writing.
That's
and,
why I
and eventually that gets diluted. And, you know, it just became a little. Well, then Wikipedia started, and people would be on Wikipedia, which was evolving its own norms, which were different than mine because it was a different content. And in fact, most of what we wrote was personal experience going forward. And that's not allowed.
And that's not allowed?
No, it's got to be past experience vetted through recognizable communities other than
Wikipedia. How do you feel about it? Do you think that's functional?
Oh, absolutely. For an encyclopedia, you don't want, you know, I mean, if you want to read original research, go read original research. And in fact, I think pretty much all original research ought to be there to read, at least if it's government funded.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and that's, well, that's another story, but...
Well, there must be a Wikipedia page about you.
Yeah.
Do you ever read it?
Yeah. Once every couple years.
Think it's accurate?
There's nothing wrong in it. You know,
have you ever met...
I come out as kind of like a bit player, you know, but then it does a, well, wiki, blah, 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 and a few other things. And if there's something like the date at which something happened that's not right, I go onto the talk page and I say, well, I'm the one who did it, and I just checked the date on the email and it says this, so you can say it. And then somebody else has to decide if that's credible reference.
Yeah. I suppose I should do stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, I never have. I've taken the rule that, you know, you're not supposed to participate in the pages that are about stuff that you were directly involved in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
well, you just say anything to us. I say, hey, why don't you write a story about this? And then somebody will write it and publish it in the New Yorker, and then you cite the New Yorker. And
so you changed. Think that I can get stories published in the New Yorker?
No, don't no. You know people?
No, nothing like that. Nope. So have you ever met Jimmy Wales?
Several times. The most interesting thing about meeting Jimmy, because I knew of him before that, but we met at a conference and we're sitting around lunch with like five or six other people, and we're telling stories about running a wiki. And I'd run my wiki and he'd run his wiki, and they were the same stories. I mean, we'd never met, but the things that we thought were interesting about wiki, his experience about wiki and my experience about wiki, that we would tell at a conference to people over lunch, were the same stories.
Like, for example?
Oh, just what you do when if somebody's misbehaving, or why people really keep coming back or don't keep coming back, or what kind of things do you write if you're not sure what to write. You know, just, I would say mostly operational things that you wouldn't announce with fanfare, but, you know, if you're there, you know, and living it, you know, taking care of this like your baby, then you do, you know,
yeah.
You know that stuff.
Funny, when I get a feature request from a person who's really using my software, I can see right off the bat that they were really using it. Because there, you know, there are certain things that need to be fixed in any piece of software, and if they're using it, you know what it is.
I love it when they ask very nicely. You know, I apologize for asking for this, but would you please?
But those are the best users,
oh,
right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, right? Because they've tried everything to work around it.
Yeah, I used to find that my think tank users, the Outliner users, were the best people. I mean, they were all like super smart and. They loved the software, and they had very few complaints, but when they did have complaints, the lists were identical.
Yeah.
So, and I knew it also because I was also a user of the software.
Right. And you said, God, I'd forgotten that I had that problem because I know the workaround. But you say, oh, yeah. Gosh,
they don't know the workaround, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, see, in a wiki, you just have a page called common workarounds, and it's not news, it's just...
Well, I like to put that kind of shit in my software, too, you know? I have a philosophy that I make shitty software with bugs, so I just swing that right up front.
Well, I think you got to make shitty software that's worth using, right? If it produces enough value, people will forgive.
Well, that's for other people to decide.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And of course that's what I do, I mean... But if somebody says your software doesn't work, you know, the last thing I'm going to do is argue with them about it, you know. But I want to know what it is. I also would love to meet users who know how to do a good bug report.
That is a joy, yeah.
Right. And usually it's other programmers, not, you know.
Who know how to do one or
do know how to do a good bug report. Yeah.
Right, the versions of every piece of software you were using.
Well,
or the ones that they know are relevant.
Or just, what was I doing? What did I expect to happen? And what actually happened? Just give me those three things, because, you know, the what did you expect? Maybe what you expected wasn't what the software did.
Yeah.
So that could be very easily dispensed of. What you did, obviously, if I'm going
to... I'm going to do it, too.
Have to be able to reproduce it. If I can't... I keep trying to tell this to the users that if I can't reproduce it, I probably can't fix it. You know, sometimes you can fix problems that you can't reproduce. Because you look at the code and you go, oh, my God, that perfectly matches up with what the guy described. I'm going to try fixing it, and I'll send him the fix and see if it solves the problem. But at that point, you wouldn't really feel confident that you had fixed the problem. Not unless you had been able to reproduce it. So, you know, it's a story. I think a lot of people don't realize you're not sitting there with them while they're doing it. There's sort of a magic thing going on.
So I want to, you know, like, one thing that was neat about the blogosphere is it was a sphere, you know. There was a lot of variety there. And that's not true of Wikipedia. There's a lot of conformity there.
Yes.
And so I'm...
It's almost diametrically opposite, right?
Yeah, so I'm strongly interested in what is in the middle. What is... has the permanence of Wiki, but the freedom of the blogosphere. And I was heading someplace, but I can't quite remember where that was going. But it was something about, oh, I know what it was. It was what I was thinking through, how to think of what it means to have a site that doesn't completely work. Maybe it works because you took content from another site, we share content, and it had a different set of capabilities. It wasn't the same. And this is something that we talk about. I'm starting a subject here that we might have to be another podcast, and that is, do we want all our software to be the same, or do we want it to be a lot of a variety in the software?
Oh, we want it to be a lot of variety.
Right, but do we want to be able to share content between things?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the whole point. I want to be able to use different software, but have our writing, our work, interoperate, so that there aren't these artificial walls that separate.
So this is... this is, instead of a, I'm trying to think of something that's really regular, like a turnpike rest stop, you know, they're all the same, versus the city zoo. The city zoo, which is about the life that's in there, and they figured out how to keep those animals alive, hopefully happy, but you get to visit it, and if it was the same as the zoo across, you know, the next state over that you had visited, you don't want to. The zoo is supposed to be wild and exciting, and that you see a lot of different things. But zoos get along by taking animals. Oh, you had, you know, three baby elephants. We'll take one, right?
Right.
And then that baby elephant isn't flourishing, because there's something wrong with the water or the hay or whatever you feed elephants, and you have to diagnose it. So that's what I think is the key thing that I need to work on, is when you have this network that has maybe made a step up. You know, now all of a sudden, you know, they used to do images, now they're doing videos. Or they used to do, you know, whatever it is that's new and you have to support it. You can't expect every site to do everything. But the site that doesn't do it isn't going to be talking about it a lot. But you want this content to move around, and to move around faster than the code that makes sense of it.
Yes.
And so that's like, you know, you get this panda, and you discover as a zookeeper that that panda isn't very happy in your zoo.
Okay.
But what you need is a vet. You know, you don't need a standard zoo version 1.0. You need a vet to help you figure out why the panda's not happy. And then you fix that, or you decide that panda's going to be happier
I think I'm not sure.
This is a metaphor of this morning.
What happened this morning?
Oh, I was just thinking about
standards. Okay.
And I just wrote this morning.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that I want to be able to be myself. I can give you a fantastic example.
Well, wait, I remember what happened this morning. I was reading an email from a friend who had the wrong version of a plugin installed, and it didn't do something that I knew I had made it do, you know, 2 months ago, and then he installed a new version. But why should he? Why should having the right version? I mean, yeah, that's like not the right feed for the elephant. And you know, you don't want to say, I don't want that problem, and I'll accept standardization. But maybe instead you say, I don't mind it as long as I have a veterinary toolkit to figure out what's wrong.
Or sooner or later, your panda's going to die. I have bad news for you. No matter all the vets you have, something is going to fail.
Yep.
I mean.
When it does, it makes room for
I mean, I am not opposed to sites being broken, you know, because my sites are pretty good right now, but they've had moments when if somebody said, well, you know, that thing isn't working anymore, I would go, yeah, that doesn't surprise me, because I just upheaved the whole thing 2 weeks ago, and I haven't put all the pieces back together again. I would rather have things moving and new ideas being in there. Breakage was the big innovation of the web. I mean,
absolutely.
Right. I mean, so because before that, all the hypertext experts were worrying about how to have two-way links that don't break. That was the deal stopper. They couldn't figure out how to do that. And along comes Tim Berners-Lee, who either had never heard of the problem or didn't care. Either way, what he put out there was phenomenal because we could get busy building a hyperlinked world where, you know, you could walk a network of really anything. I mean, that's the great thing about the web. I mean, it could be a network of people, it could be a network of different kinds of cars. Well, you don't have to know in advance what are the different kinds of cars that it can be. That's the genius. That's why it worked. That's why it wasn't created by a big corporation. Yeah. A big corporation
could never do that.
Could never let that happen, right? And there was a really great example of this. You know, when a guy named Evan Williams, who created a Blogger and Twitter, he came out with a service called Medium. And as soon as he did it, my thought was, well, why don't we make history here, you and me, Ev? And why don't we, since I'm also working on a new content system, why don't we make it so there's a very high degree of interop between our systems right from the beginning, and we'll make that basis for interop wide open. And that way, we can create a whole network of content systems. It doesn't have to just be yours or mine or someone else's. You know, the way I look at it is, if I were in his shoes, I mean, and to some extent I am in his shoes, you know, he's made a shitload of money, right? So how much more money do you need? Couldn't you, after having made a lot of money, decide that money shouldn't be your motivation anymore? And that creating some great network effect like that, at the same time as producing really high quality websites, you know, really beautiful tools, there's no reason you have to sacrifice one for the other. It turns out that there's, that if they were to do that, they would have had to give up one of their nicest features. And I would say you don't have to give it up. The feature is that you can highlight a range of text. A user, a reader can do this, can highlight a range of text and then link a comment into that. So you can say, okay, I think this is a particularly good passage of text and I want to say something about this. So that's a feature of their software. If I could update that post after people had already put that kind of linkage information on it, how would they be able to maintain those links? In other words, their feeling was, and I'm inferring this by the way, nobody told me this, but they would ask, how can we maintain all this cool shit that we produced if you can arbitrarily update the post without our having, without doing it with our software? We couldn't manage it. So, Tim, what would Tim Berners-Lee say? Blow them all away. Just start all over. When you update the post, all that shit goes, right? Because I'm willing to have a certain amount of breakage in the cause of having maximum interop. Because maximum interop is really what we're doing, you know? And it,
I try to approach that. And I have sort of certain levels. If you have a page and it's not working, you ought to be able to figure out where that page came from and go there and see how the page works there. In other words, we're all in one space, but sometimes we're closer than others, and I want my stuff close to me, but if it's not working close to me, I ought to be able to say, well, where did it come from? How does it work there? And then you can reasonably say, gosh, it works great there. Why does it work there and not here? And that's really a software distribution thing. And if I made that automatic, then it would be filled with viruses. So I just don't want viruses. So I say, well, somebody who knows about viruses has to go to a reputable place and get the software. And hopefully that other site will tell you where that is. You say, hey, why does this work here? I say, well, we're using this version of this thing, and it's in this open source group. And you go there and you get it. But that process is going to take months or years, whereas the content should move around in hours and days.
Right.
And the content will very quickly move past the horizon of whatever new features are spreading through this network. And it has to be tolerant to that. It has to say, well, there's something here, and it kind of looks like this, but if you had this new version, it would look a lot better. It would be what you would expect.
But in the actual mass world that we live in, Facebook, when I reflect one of my posts over there, because they do have an API of Facebook, So when I write a post on my blog, once I publish it, it's automatically mirrored to Facebook. Yeah. I don't have to do anything. I mean, I have a preference set that says do that. But when that happens, it loses all of its links, loses all of its styling. If it had a title, it loses the title.
Yeah.
So you end up with, but I still do it anyway because people like will read this stuff over there, but I typically have to go then and paste in a link to the original version. I mean, this is so suboptimal, right?
Yeah.
This is the actual world we're forced to live in, but. I guess what we're both saying, you're willing to debug the problems, and I'm saying in the real world we live with all the imperfections anyway. Even if it's not what we would like to do, we do it anyway.
Well, I've noticed that we've created a community of zoos, and with them zookeepers, but we have yet to offer the zookeepers a really straightforward and understandable way to keep their zoos, you know, to make conscious decisions. Do I want to be a site about cool video stuff, or
well,
that how is it that we manage our differences, knowing that difference is what we're really striving, variety is what we're striving for.
Right, we're accepting that we're different. It's not homogeneous. I don't expect you to do it my way, and you don't expect me to do it
yours. Because that is the very freedom that keeps the thing moving forward.
And that's why the web was so magical in its early days, right? It's why the web was flexible enough to be both a blogging system and a wiki.
Yep.
And probably, or maybe a few other things that we haven't thought of yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Maps. Oh my God. Maps are fabulous, you know.
All right, maybe we should, maybe this is...
I think we've about done it here, you know?
Well, I think this is fantastic. Let's see how much we've got. Hold on. This is where it's, you see, I don't do any editing. 31 minutes is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be really interesting. I think
it needs some notes. We're talking about this, and we're talking about this, and we're talking
all
about
right, this. All right, well, yeah, I do that. Don't worry, it'll be in the blog post. All right, everybody. Let me just say, today is August 20th, 2016, and that's all. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.